Hello everyone and welcome to another Windows 7 webcast here on Channel 9. With me today, Paul. And Paul, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Paul Gilday. I'm a program manager on Scenic Animation.
And I'm Paul Kwiatkowski. I'm a developer on Scenic Animation.
And today we're going to talk about Windows Scenic Animation or Windows Animation. We still haven't figured out exactly the right code name or the right name for the technology. We'll probably figure out closer to RTM. My name is Yohai Kiriadi. I'm the Windows 7 Technical Evangelist. And just to start off, probably you're going to ask yourself, what is the Windows Animation? And I think the best way is just to see an example. So, Paul,
sure.
Let's start with a cool example.
All right. We have an application that kind of uses all types of new Windows APIs, Direct2D, multi-touch gestures API, and our new animation API. So with animations, you can have nice, neat effects with writing very little code and easy to integrate it with new and current applications.
Cool. So you can, you can just take a picture and do like this, right? And you can play with it along and you see how it follows and there is a cool animation, right?
Yep.
And you can do this and you can do that and you can move the animation. This is really cool. So we use touch and multi-touch technology here and we use Direct2D for rendering, and we use the animation Windows animation platform for the animation, right? But before Windows 7, developers write their own animation. So what does it take to write that animation without using the Windows animation platform?
Yeah, well, it's certainly possible to roll your own. If you're going to be doing that, you're going to be entering this space of state management for values that are changing over time. And so you're going to have to set up code that can at any frame answer the question of what interpolated value are each of these variables at. You need to keep track of when animations begin, when they end. Given that an animation takes a non-zero amount of time and the user might hit another key, you need to be able to decide what to do if one animation is still in progress and you want another one to start. And you're also going to have to do the math. If you want to do simple linear movements, that's fairly straightforward, but for more natural-looking movements, the math of the algebra gets a little bit more complicated, and that's the sort of stuff that we provide for you.
Cool. So basically, what is the Windows animation?
Okay, we're not tied to any particular graphics technology. We are purely a state manager. And this means that you can set up values that your application interprets. So you could have a value that represents the x coordinate of an object, a value that represents the y coordinate. It could be the rotation or the size or the color of the object changing over time. And we will provide a library of what we call transitions to interpolate these values over time. We will manage the schedule of different animations that might queue up, including conflicts when two user actions are going to result in the same variables being animated.
So when you say you resolve the conflicts, what does it mean? As far as resolving, how do you take action? Do you ask the application to provide? So, do you ask the developer to write callbacks so you can ask them what they want to do? Or?
Yeah, we'll discuss that in more detail in another show, but yes, we do call back into the application to allow it to make decisions, but we're doing an awful lot of the work on our side.
Cool.
So, the domain that we're targeting is interactive animation in particular. That's when these conflicts can arise. And when you're rolling your own, developers typically find that it's best to just stick to very simple animations, something sliding out, sliding back in, and we want to enable much richer animation. We use storyboards, our units of animation, and this means many transitions happening on many variables over time. Well, of course, it can just be one. And we want to allow very rich interactions of complex storyboards with lots of little things changing and moving in response to user action all seamlessly. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the more advanced features in another show, but this time we just want to talk about the basics of how you add this to your application. We have a set of COM interfaces as our API. It's worth mentioning that this is used in the Windows 7 taskbar and the magnifier already.
Yeah, so folks internally use that technology to animate the jump list and stuff, and do the custom views, how they slide in and out, basically.
All right.
Cool. Okay.
So to set it up in your application, we tried to make it as simple as possible for the simple case. Even if you're not doing anything terribly complicated, we just want this to be convenient to use. And so these are the steps. In your initialization code, you need to create an animation manager object. That's your central object that you'll be interacting with. And you need to create some animation variables, one for each quantity that you want to be animating. And again, it's up to your application to determine what these actually mean. And then when the user actually pushes a key or moves a mouse or whatever, you build up a storyboard and you add a bunch of transitions to that storyboard for one or more variables that are going to be changing over time, and then you say schedule it. And then the third thing you have to do in your application is somewhere you're going to have some kind of basic rendering loop, and the only extra steps that you need to do are you need to say update on the animation manager, and that interpolates all of the variables' values to what they're supposed to be at this time, given the storyboards that you've scheduled, if any. And then you get the individual variable values and you draw your frame. In addition to that basic setup, there are a few other steps that many apps will want to do. For one thing, you don't want your application redrawing the screen every single frame if there's nothing actually moving, probably. And so what you can do is, rather than just starting your rendering loop, you can register a notification handler to say, tell me when there's actually something to animate. And then at the end, once the animation queue has emptied out, then you can shut off your rendering loop again.
So this is pretty much, you know, a mandatory. Well, it's optional, but you should do it for performance-wise.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But it's also fairly simple, and we have samples to show you what you need to set up. And then these other ones really are optional. Your application might want to be notified when an animation begins or when it finishes, so it can do memory management or draw something else or whatever. And then finally, with hardware-based APIs like Direct3D or Direct2D, you can actually just synchronize to the frame refresh rate. So every time you need to draw a frame, you can just wait, and you'll be able to draw it at exactly the right time, no faster and no slower. But a lot of other graphics APIs, older ones, don't have that. And so we do also provide, just for convenience, a timer component to take your animations along.
And you can set a timer resolution?
No.
Why not?
Long story.
And so what is the timer resolution?
We just set it to 60 frames per second.
60 frames per second. 60?
60, yeah.
60, 60.
60.
Yeah, that's pretty high. That should be okay. Cool. Okay. And there are some other stuff we can do, right?
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, we have a set of transitions that we provide to do different kinds of math. This is extensible, but the ones we include are just the basic ones, linear movement, if you want that, accelerate, decelerate, for the ease-in, ease-out effect. We have a parabolic one, which takes differing amounts of time depending on how far it has to travel.
And we're going to see all of them in a second, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. And yeah, these last 2 points here, that this is a key feature of our platform, that you don't always have to specify the duration. If you always do that for every single animation, you can end up with this sort of robotic look where things all move in sync and then stop at the exact same time. And we wanted to make it possible for some transitions to have their duration determined by something else. And so, some of ours have that property, but you can also build your own transitions to do whatever effect you want.
Cool. So basically, you're saying that you can give life to your animation.
Yes.
And they can all behave differently.
Exactly.
Oh, this is really nice. Excellent. So what does it mean to build your own animation, as far as what control does you do give the developer, what aspect of the animation can he tweak?
What you can do is you can, we have an interface defined for building an interpolator. This is a more advanced API, so if you don't want to go near this, you don't have to. You can get probably most effects you want, or all in many domains, just by using the transition library we've provided. But all you do is you implement this interface, and now you can do whatever math you want internally. You can have whatever construction parameters you want for your interpolator, so it can be parameterized however you want it to be.
Cool. And are we thinking of adding additional transition into the builds, or the run that we have right now? Or
the ones we have right now are, we think, a good set. It just covers the most basic math to allow what we think are natural movements, things that accelerate naturally and decelerate naturally.
And you can, in one storyboard, can you add several different transition, or you need to have different storyboards?
No, one storyboard, you can have a whole sequence of transitions, and each one can be a different kind, and in each variable, they can all be different.
So you can mix and match and do whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And this is just a really, really high level overview, right? So we have, we'll have further sessions where we can actually, you're going to see the code driving behind us and showing some example of how to use that, how to set the animation, get the events, and render stuff, and just show it in action.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. So with that, I think it's time for some demos, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool. So take us away.
For our hands-on lab, what we wanted to provide to developers was how to take a pretty static application. In this case, it just regrids thumbnails. And we wanted to make it so that you would take that application and easily integrate in animations and get a very nice, pretty UI. And this is using just one transition, and it regrids all of the photos. So from there, we built on top of it, and this was also supplied in the PDC source code. Is how would you apply different transitions on different objects. So this first transition is a linear transition. So the thumbnails will move from point A to point B in time T. And so this one is actually bound by time. What we probably mostly will see is most users, most developers, will use accelerate, decelerate, which is what you saw in the previous example. And this is where it moves with a certain acceleration and a certain deceleration, which the developer can tweak however they want. Also, as Paul mentioned before, we have parabolic transitions, which aren't bound by time. And so this gives kind of the animations like a more organic feel, and they kind of have their own kind of path that they'll follow, and they're not bounded by to get in point from point A to point B in their given time.
Yep.
So this one is really nice. Also, you can tweak the parameters on this one to give it an even more animated life of their own, and where the photos will they'll get to their spot
eventually
whenever they really want. So a really good one is where we let it settle down, and then we'll pull it out, and it'll just get to its position when it needs to.
Yep.
Also, let me switch back to the first parabolic, and we'll resize here. You not only can move around positions, as Paul said before, you can pretty much animate any type of property on any type of UI element. So in this case, we'll animate the X and Y position, and we'll also animate the RGB value of the background. And so as I click around here, we get a little traveling snake, but the background color will change to a random RGB value. And so you can just prove that you can animate hundreds of objects and change the color at the exact same time. And so it kind of demonstrates the scalability of our animation framework.
Okay, so these are great demos showing the Windows Scenic Animation in action. Really, really nice technology. Can we go back to the first demo and play with it a little bit so people would see some additional features we can do and some of the implementation of that technology?
Right, yeah. So like I said before, this is using all new Windows 7 API technologies, Direct2D, multi-touch gestures, and our animation platform. And so we can start just by basically moving some stuff around, doing, you know, resize, we'll do a little rotation. But really the part where this kind of shines is in the grouping of photos. So let me grab some more photos here and make a group. And we'll add that guy in there. And so all of the kind of transitions in and out, and that's done by our animation framework. And these are just very, very simple transitions. These are the standard accelerate, decelerate transition. So you can move, you know, photos back and forth. You can collapse this down. You can even kind of peek. So you can look at photos that you have in your group, and you can let them go, and they snap back. You can even, you know, throw in groups of groups. And it kind of, you know, it gives that extra little bit of polish on your applications, giving these really nice animations.
This is really, really nice. Sweet. I'm sure that a lot of people are going to find this very, very exciting as far as the opportunity that we can do with combining all technologies together. Really cool. Hey, guys, thanks a lot for showing us this amazing technology. I'm not sure that other folks out there are actually aware of this technology exists in Windows 7, even if Windows 7 is a new thing, but everyone knows there is multi-touch and Direct2D and stuff like that, but this is really, really cool. And I'm really looking forward for future sessions. We're going to actually deep dive into this technology. Thank you guys very much. And with that, thank you.